I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial right across the river through the woods from where Granny has to go to bed on her birthday because she had a couple of too many Pinot Grigios at dinner and then after dinner. And then she said, roll me up one of them poison cherry sticks. And I did. And now she's out for the count in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flood the party up. Rats on the west side, better dogs uptown, with a mess, it's tired of tatter, my friends, splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight, running it. We got a really big show. We're going to have this hour, your boy Blue Line Kurtz will join us, and we'll talk some hockey with George and some baseball. You name it, we'll get into it with Blue Line this very hour. Next hour, go for the two. Your boy Joe Lisi will be on to break down all the big games in college basketball on Saturday and then even a couple on Sunday. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. I'm watching the Celtics, who with 30 seconds left and rolling, are up 6 right now on the Pacers. Sabonis, they're going to give him that bucket? Oh, my God, off the top of the backboard. You got to be kidding me. Sure enough, and now the foul on Sabonis. He hit a 3 from the wing, hits the rim, goes up, bounces off the top of the glass, the very top, and came straight down. It bounced twice, came straight down right into the basket, and the bucket's good, the 3, with his garbage shot. What an absolute hack shot that was. I cannot believe that fell. That's like the guy that pulls up Mafia in the game, and you're playing your ass off, you're defending your ass off, everything's under control, and then some hack comes down and chucks a 3, and he banks it in. There's nothing like the guy that...
Yeah, we got a bunch of those we played with.
Oh, my God. Is there anything worse than the guy that chucks one and it makes it off glass? You know, the guy that never hits a 3, and then all of a sudden he hits one off a bank? There's nothing worse when the bank's open with a hack shooter that just chucks a shot up. By the way, the line in this game is 3. They're up 3. unless I'm mistaken. It was three today on Coast to Coast when we were doing the show. Tatum now down on the floor grabbing his ankle. He definitely got tweaked. Let's see how bad it is. He's limping. I got to see it. See what happened here. Oh, he got stepped on. He got absolutely stepped on by Sumner, I think. Ran up and literally stepped on his ankle and foot. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What a way to get injured. Some guy just out of control steps on you. Welcome in all of our radio affiliates on Sirius 204. Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do Tijuana. And then Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. So now they're up four with 11 and a half left. 11 seconds, whatever. So in that game, let me look at it. I think I laid three. I did. I always remember the spreads. I'll remember 100 spreads. When I place bets, I remember everything. I didn't even have to look. I did look just to check. I have to tell you what happened today, Mafia. You're gonna find this funny. I didn't find it funny, but you're gonna find it funny. So yesterday, at around, let's say, I don't know, 12 o'clock, 11:30 in the morning. So what happens is I have, you know, I got the extra car now, right? So that's kind of going to be Gunner's car. And then I got this other car, and then 34C's got her fancy rig, right? So as you know, I take pretty good care of the car you and I used to drive in every day, right? And
right.
And so what happens is I take it out, or like, you know, periodically I'll drive it around and, you know, get it going and get the battery going and make sure it's all, you know, jiving right and doing well and, you know, up to snuff. So unbelievably, I went out and typically every day, even in the dead of winter, because we've had all these blizzards. Every day there's, you know, freezing cold, sub-zero, 5-foot drifts, and then that'll go away, and 2 days later we'll get another 7 inches, 2 days later another 6 inches, 2 days later an ice storm. So it's just constant bad weather, and, you know, I have to keep the battery going so that it doesn't, like, die. You won't believe what happened. When I come back, I'll tell you what happened. You won't even believe it.
If sports talk stations were cars, we'd be the one that you drove the wheels off of in high school, cruising for chicks and going to the game on Friday nights, then forgetting where you parked it till Saturday morning and you had to get your buddy to drive you around looking for it.
I think I see it, man.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So what happened was, is that yesterday I went out, and what I do is every day I start it and let it run, right? And so it doesn't just die. So yesterday I went out and started it at like 11:30 or something. And then, as you know, like I typically I'll lay down for an hour or something. I get up really early. I get up at like 6 a.m. I go work out hard for like 2 hours. And I mean, I don't do any kind of like soft ass shack. I'm talking, I grind. I work out till I'm soaking wet and lifting and swimming and the whole deal. So I usually lay down for an hour. So what happened was I went out and turned the car on, and I was like doing things and getting things done around the crib or whatever, and getting the shows ready or whatever with Mafia. And I forgot. I completely stoned her. Just complete Stonehenge. I forgot about the car. And do you know that I let this car run for 20 hours? I literally never went back outside because I was when I took a nap, got up, did the TV show. I did the TV show, and then I had dinner. Then I did. I watched some games. Last night was great games. Nets, Knicks. I'm sitting there watching the games. I never went outside once. And then I went and did the radio show at 10 to midnight. Then I went to bed. I got up, and at 7 in the morning, I was, like, looking for my keys. I'm like, holy shack. And I ran outside. My car was still running 20 hours later. It ran for 20 hours straight. It just sat there and ran. And it totally emptied the gas tank. So when I got out to the car was on absolute E, and it had no gas in it. Like, the red light was on, the whole deal. And I was able to, well, I turned it off, obviously. Then I went to the gym. I worked out. I came back. I took the dog for a walk. And then I got in the car, started it up again. And then I drove it to the gas station. I filled it. The gas station is like 2 miles from my house, tops. I barely made it there. I'm on E. The thing's sputtering down the road. Then I had to fill the coolant. It was empty. And then I had to, fill the gas tank. I mean, I went through an entire, it was full when it was sitting in my driveway full. And it ran literally in its place for 20 hours. Something like that. I mean, I did it at 11 in the morning. I went out there at 7 in the morning the next day. So I went outside and the car was still running. It was just sitting there running for 20 hours. I never went back out, like stoner move, like bong hit move. I went out and I forgot to turn it off. And I went about my bed, laid down, and it was over. And then I never went out there. The next day I go out, my car's still running and it's on E. There's a red light on. When I went out, it was so mad at me. The car was like giving me the finger, the whole deal. It just ran. What do you think, Mafia, that error? Grave error. Is that the beginning of early for Alzheimer's?
I mean, you got four people in that house. No one noticed that the whole day. You know, like, the kids didn't go outside to play basketball. It was like 50 degrees. They weren't outside running around. No one took the dog for a walk. The wife didn't run errands. No one picked up on that.
Well, so obviously there's other car activity and kids and everything, but the car runs so quiet. Like, you know that car. It's not a loud car engine. It's just a smooth running, nice, quiet engine. No big deal. It literally ran in its place, but it's over in the corner. So I got it in the corner, then mine in the middle, hers on the right. There's three cars. The one car is sitting over in the corner next to my neighbor's fence, and it's just sitting there. And it's got, like, you know, I got the windshield wipers up. I got the cover on the windshield. I got the whole deal. It looks like the, you know, it's like a bad version of a guy that, you know, cooks meth in his driveway in an RV. I got the third car just sitting there all unused, right? My son drives it. It's his car now. He's 16 or whatever. So they never go out there. They never go near it. So when my wife gets out of the car, she's 20 feet away from it. She's 25 feet away from it. So she couldn't hear it. And I forgot about it, and it sat and ran for 20 straight hours. And it went from a full tank of gas to bone dry. I mean, it was the worst. I got to tell you, it gave me the worst feeling because I just felt like I ruined it. You know, like, I felt like I had damaged the car, like I had just hurt it, and that it was my fault. And I'm at the gym. I'm boxing. I'm kicking. I'm punching the bag, the heavy bag. And I'm thinking to myself, I've destroyed the car. I've ruined the car. I've ruined it. Nice job, idiot. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, oh my God, I've destroyed the car. It's unbelievable. Then I finished, I ran, I lifted, I swam, I came home, and then I took the dog for a walk, and then I turned back on and got it lubed up and fixed and filled up, and it seems like everything's fine. But I got to tell you, it really sucked.
At least you know you live in a safe neighborhood. They had a car running for 20 hours and no one stole it.
Well, that also, because 34C said she thought it would have got stolen. But as you know, I mean, for the most part, the only thing they, it's mostly rich, you know, losers, you know, people that you just can't stand that, you know, live near me. You know what I mean?
Right.
everybody's filthy rich and everybody's just stuck up and snobby and nobody says hi. Everybody's just in their own world. I don't have a problem with that too. It's perfect because I don't want to know anybody. Some chick said something to me today. I'm walking down my driveway with my dog and she said something about, and I don't even know who it was. She's talking to me like I know her. And I was like, what's up? And she's like, are you going sledding with us Monday? I'm like, yeah, listen, no, I'm not going sledding with you. I don't even know you. I didn't say that. I just said, I'm not going sledding. Okay. But you have fun. Your kids are gone. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Tell them I said hi. Because I don't see them.
Sledding money. It's been 50 degrees and raining. And like all the snow's gone. Will they get sled on the Bear Hill at this point on Monday?
I guess they're going to
dirt sledding.
they're going to some like professional, I guess, tobogganing, sledding, ice place or something where they haul ass. I don't even know. Like, it sounds to me like it's not.
I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going sledding ever. I wouldn't go sledding ever. Okay, I'm done with all that. I went once up at that mountain. You know where I'm talking about, where you went on your honeymoon. And I went there one day sledding. And I went down a couple times and on the inner tube. And I was like, and at the time I was like 45 or something like that. And I'm just like, I need a drink.
And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why?
That's why is Pharrell tobogganing. You know, I don't have a really good thing on tobogganing either after my buddy died tobogganing. That's a true story as well, right? My friend, was skiing or whatever, and he went down the mountain and crashed and died. It was the worst. Do you remember that a year ago? I mean, that was awful. So
yeah,
I don't do a whole lot of tobogganing and stuff like that. So I don't know. When I go skiing, I go skiing. I don't go, tobogganing. And I did all that stuff when I was a kid, I guess, I'd do anything when I was a kid. Violence was my middle name. I'd jump off anything. I'd ski off anything. I'd toboggan off anything. And believe me, when I was a kid, if I found a car running for 20 hours in my neighborhood, I would have stole it. Mafia, you don't want me to start telling stories about me stealing cars again, do you? No,
we don't want you to incriminate yourself.
All right. Do we got Blue Line next? Blue Line Kurtz is next on the bench.
You're listening to the source of live odds, line, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it
The Winning Edge.
Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on a bench, so now 34C is telling me I have to start leaving post-it notes around when I, go out and turn the car on. Because what happens is I have a starter on both the cars. Mafia knows this. I have the button starter, and I can heat the car, air condition the car, whatever, from inside the house, blah, blah, blah. You know what that is. But what happened is one day I turned it on, and it jammed. In the winter when it was, 5 degrees outside and it didn't work. So the starter was frozen and it wouldn't start. So when it did start, all the engine lights stayed on, the tire puncture light stayed on, check engine, warning. And I was like, I had to go to my guy and have him turn off the computer so that it would reboot. And I'm like, I'm not using this stupid thing anymore, this starter, in the middle of winter when it's 50 below here in New York City. And we got blizzards every other day. I'm done with it. So then I finally go out and turn my car on with the keys. And then I leave it on and it runs for 20 straight hours. Even Blue Line Kurtz was making fun of me.
No good.
All right. So we're going to have to redial George back. We got nothing but problems here on a Friday night. Mafia's drunk again. God bless him. You know that he's got a freshie going when it's Friday night and the final hoorah, when we're in the final lap, trying to go for that under 4 minute mile. Then we go to the hooks and your boy Blue Line's all macheted up. That's a problem. Anyway, I thought I'd tell you that at the very least, in terms of covering, is that the Celtics won the game and covered. They won by 6, and they covered the 3, so they finally won a game. Anyway, I was saying we have George back. George, I left my car running for 20 straight hours, and then no one noticed. It was out there running like a kitten. It was as quiet as a kitten. No one could hear it. It's the furthest car over. I got 3 cars. One of them's in the middle. One's on the right. And the one on the right, she drives, and my wife, and she never heard it. The kids never heard it. And it just ran for 20 hours straight, a full tank of gas. It was on empty. All the coolant was all gone. I mean, this thing, it was like car abuse. It was car abuse, George. I abused my car. Wow. Mafia, we're having a lot of problems tonight. Jesus, I don't know what it is. It must be my breath or something. Do I have bad breath? I don't know what it is. So there you go. I don't know what's happening here. I have no explanation for it. So I'm just going to leave it up to you to figure it out, whether we can have guests or not tonight. It's looking like that's not happening, in my view. It's looking like the guest line won't be working this evening on the network. So much for that. I will tell you that in terms of scores right now going on, the Heat are up 123-116 on the Jazz. They're going to beat them. I think there's 2 seconds left. How about the Heat with a huge win tonight in Miami over the Jazz? I didn't see that coming. There's a ticket I can rip. The Blazers are out of the gates on the Lakers, 18-8. Portland up in Lipstick City, 18-8, 5 left in the first. The Lakers have lost 4 in a row. And 5 of 6, and they've come out, and they're down 10 early to Dame Time and the Blazers. The Kings lead the Pistons by a bucket, 103-101 with a minute left. And the Warriors, who seldom got to play, they're up 4 on the Hornets early in the first, under 5 left, 19-15, Dubs. The Celtics winners. Raptors had no coaches. 6 coaches sick, protocol, whatever. They were not on the sideline. Raptors played without them, and Siakam is what Mafia told me. And they went out, and they still kicked the Rockets' ass. The Rockets have now lost 10 in a row, 122-111, the final. Suns over the Bulls, 106-97. So they win in Chicago and cover. The Bulls were getting 5.5. That wasn't enough. Yeah, I think it may have gone down to 4.5. Clippers blow out the Grizzlies, 119-99 in Memphis. Last night, Memphis killed the Clippers, and then tonight they returned serve and beat them by 20, whatever. And then the Thunder beat the Hawks, 118-109. Kind of, that's the problem with the Hawks, right? They're better than the Thunder. They got more talent than the Thunder. They got guys that can pour it in. Collins, Young, it goes on and on. Danilo Gallinari, they have all these guys that can pour it in. And then they still go on the road and suck like the Atlanta Hawks have sucked forever. I mean, that's just all there is to it. They have sucked forever, and they always will. It does not matter who they have on the team. They could have 15 of the greatest players in the world, and they would still find a way to lose. They'll fire that Pierce guy, trust me, you, because he sucks too. He just doesn't get the job done. None of them do. They're embarrassing. And anyway, we're going to try George later here in a few minutes. We're having technical difficulties with all of that nonsense, so I can't even deal with it. So I just said, get out of that mess. And we'll see if we can figure it out in the break. And then if we can't figure it out in the break, that'll be that. right? So we'll just dive right out of that if we can't fix it. So I can't, just so you know, so you're clear on this, I can't fix anything. I'm worthless. I'm absolutely the worst. Mafia the other day was telling me on the set of the TV show that there was sunshine. There was a sunlight breaking through the window and coming onto the TV set, and it was ruining the TV set picture. And so everyone was seeing this giant light behind me that was cascading in through a window. So I didn't have any capability of fixing it whatsoever. I tried everything. I tried to spin the shades up, down, all around. None of that worked. Then he's like, can you put something over it? I'm like, nothing. I have nothing to hang it on. It won't. It just won't hang on the shades. They're too flimsy. And then what about the window sill, the window frame? Nope, it's too small. It's too thin. It won't hold anything. I'd have to literally get like tacks and tack something in there, which in the moment, I got 1 minute to fix it. I'm like, I don't have any tacks. I don't have anything to fix it. He's like, well, you got to do something because it's ruining the TV show. So I proceeded to grab a shirt, a T-shirt, and I literally smashed in the shades. I just ruined them. I just tried to shove the shirt in the shades. I started cranking it. I started jimmying it. I was wrapping it around the shades. I was hanging it. I got this shirt up there now. It's ruined the window, ruined the shade. That broke. So now I just have this giant shirt hanging from a window. I mean, it's like a scene out of a bad movie. You know, like the guy that puts up newspaper on his windows and he lives inside the house and just smokes crack all day, smoking that butter. I got the windows all shaded up with blankets and newspapers. That's what it looks like now in the TV set. At least there was no glare today, Mafia. Whenever the sun comes out in New York City, which is never, we have a problem. So we have 1 or 2 days of sunshine a month. And the rest of the month, like 28 days of rain, snow, sleet, ice, wind, crap, just the worst weather ever. And then 2 days a month, we have sunshine. And then the 2 days a month that we have sunshine, Mafia yells at me and tells me we can't do the TV show with light, sunlight glaring in through windows in your Forella Palatial. You have to understand, the house, I do the show. Let's just stop lying to everyone. I do the show from home and because of the pandemic, and I've been doing it here for 11 months, and I do it in a room with a bunch of windows, and there's nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. And then now I'm building a studio in my basement, but the guy hasn't started yet. He's been telling me he's going to start building this studio for a month and a half. He told me he's going to start, and he's never showed up when he said he was going to. So every time he tells me it's a week, he never shows up. The next week he said 2 weeks, he doesn't show up. Next week he says 2 weeks, he doesn't show up. Now I just don't even ask him anymore when he's coming. But I invested all this money in this guy to do it, so I can't get out of it. And he's already done a bunch of work on my house, so it's not like I'm going to go to someone else and fire him or go to some other dude to do it, because this guy does all the construction on my house. So I'm waiting for this guy to show up and build the studio, and he just never does it. He never gets it done. Now I'm cussing at him and cussing at 34C because she's the one that got him to do it, and then he never did it. So I haven't done anything. In fact, she made me clean the basement to get ready to have the basement done for the new studio, and it took me 3 weeks to clean the basement. I lifted 50 million pounds of stuff to get it ready to build, and the guy still hasn't come to do it. So I hate everyone.
You can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey,
All right, Mafia, are we going to cross our fingers here and try this again with Blue Line Courage, do you think? Let me ask Mafia first. Mafia, do you what are the odds, the over-under on whether this is going to work this time or not? Are you going yes or no? Over would be yes, it's going to work. Under is no.
I'm going yes. I'm going to say it's going to work, although I give it 65% odds.
All right. Let's try to bring him back on. Now, if this fails this time, I'm really going to lose my temper. I just want to let everyone know that I'm just not, like, I've already been mad tonight once. Mafia heard that explosion because I couldn't get this thing working. And then after about three tries, he heard the Bob Knight come right out. I just started cussing. And I was like, you know, this thing is such a piece of, and I just started dropping bombs. And then I got the guy to fix it. And then now we go on the air, and then I got your boy Blue Line. Sounds like he's in Yellowstone National Park with an echo. He's at the Grand Canyon in an echo. And then now we're going to go to him for a third time, and hopefully it'll work. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to stick a gun in my mouth. Here we go. George, are you there?
Well, let's look at it this way. We got spring training games starting this weekend. Third time, we might strike out.
Listen, George, now let's go back to your, because it is working, thank God in heaven. Let's go back to your story. I told you that I left my car on for 20 consecutive hours running, and I mowed through all the gas, all the coolant, everything. It just completely ran for 20 hours straight from like 11 in the morning until 7:30 in the morning the next day. I mean, that's a nice run right there.
That's amazing. All right, I have the automatic starter, too. I have never done that, and I do start my wife's car from time to time. But I did have a buddy of mine once, lives in the same town I live in, who went on vacation. I guess he left at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And I don't know why he started the other car. I don't think I ever asked, but he called me like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like in a panic. I don't know why he's in a panic. He goes, yeah, I left my car running. Can you go over there and turn it off? I'm like, well, you better hope its door is open. I don't have your keys. I'm not going to break into the car. He goes, no, I left it open. And sure enough, I get there 8-9 hours later, not 20, but 8-9 hours later. And there it is in the driveway, just running along real nice.
Yeah, that's what happened. I left it on for 20 hours and I had the heat blaring. I had the heat just blaring in the car because, you know, you turn it on, it's freezing cold here. Not today, but not yesterday, but usually it's freezing cold. So when I turn the car on, I have it on full heat. So it just heats up and gets the car going, right? Because I don't really drive the car. That's my point. I turn it on to keep it running and to, like, let it, you know, juice the battery and keep it, you know, in, you know, running order because I don't drive it anymore. I gave the thing to my son. And I left it on for 20 hours. Very embarrassing. All right, let's talk. I got to get a lot done here with you, George, and I have very limited time. First, let me talk about baseball. Today, I had a conversation on Coast to Coast about the NL East where, you know, I guess Bryce Harper essentially, in not so many words, said that the NL East is the best division in baseball. And then I was in a break on Coast to Coast, and I heard Michael Wilbon saying the NL East isn't the best in baseball. It's the NL West because they have the Dodgers and Padres. And I thought to myself, boy, those other teams in that division out in the West are sure fantastic, like the Colorado Rockies, who just lost their 130th game today of the season, and the season hasn't even started yet. And then the Diamondbacks and Giants, they both suck too. So I don't believe that. I do believe that the NL East is better. I think the Dodgers are better. I think the Padres are better. But I think that those teams in that division in the East are so incredible and loaded and talented and deep, and even the Marlins made the playoffs last year, that how could you say that that's not the best division in baseball with as good as those teams are, George?
No, I agree with you and Harper. I think the National League East is by far the best division in baseball. I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, you said it. Dodgers and Padres are better teams, absolutely. Do I want to watch every Dodger-Padre game? Yes, I do. I think it's going to be a great game. I think those two teams are going to hate each other and be one hell of a rivalry. But the National League East, Braves, Nationals, Phillies, Mets. You said the Marlins. Marlins are an up-and-coming team. You give the Marlins 2 years with that pitching they have, I mean, they're going to be dynamic pitching. If they can just add some hitting but through a draft, I mean, free agency may be a reach here, but they're going to be a good team as well here. And the Braves, they're not the Dodgers. They're not the Braves, but they're just one level down. That's a good squad. I mean, that's a really good team there. I think they win that division. But I think Harper's right. The National League East, in my mind, I don't even think it's all that close. I mean, really, think of another division where you can have 1-5 legitimate teams here. I'm not saying they're all good. Phillies aren't a great team, but they're an okay team. They should have been more than 81 games. You said it, National League West. What are the Rockies winning? 65? Giants, yeah. 68? Arizona, right. 70s? I mean, come right. on. That can't be the best division.
So let me ask you, George. Like, I even said today on Coast to Coast that Bryce Harper and the Phillies won't even make the playoffs. That's how good that division is, because he's like, we just want to see fans happy at Halloween and in the playoffs. We want the Phillies to be in the playoffs. That's all we want. And I'm thinking, there's no expanded playoffs, so there's less teams. They're back to being less teams, and I just don't see them actually making it. I mean, I think the Braves proved they were the best team, and on paper, the Mets are obviously bravado city with their, you know, their team on paper looks like a World Series team, but results, you know, are in the pudding. And we know that, you know, best laid plans are laid to waste. The Mets, I know they are loaded. They are loaded, but it doesn't mean they're going to be great. It really doesn't, because they have been loaded before, not like this, but they've been loaded and haven't come through. I still think the Braves are better. And I think the Mets should be great, but I don't put the Phillies anywhere near either one of them.
Yeah, you and I, once again, we're in the same path there. I agree with you. I think the Braves are the best team in the National League East. Like I said, I think they're just one step below Dodgers, Padres. I think the Mets are the next best team in the National League East. And what I also like about the Mets is this. Does anyone truly think Cohen's going to be afraid to add money in June, July, by the deadline, if they need another player, position player, or a starting pitcher, whatever they need? I think he'll add it if they're going on a run for that. I absolutely think they will. And you think about the Mets. If everything's humming well, and I know we can say this about so many teams, but you got DeGrom. Carrasco's a good pitcher. I'm not a big Stroman guy, but he's a solid pitcher. If Syndergaard can come back and be that kind of pitcher he was, and I know that's asking a lot coming back from that kind of surgery, I get it. But you got Taijuan Walker as well. They're deep. Peterson would be your sixth starter. I mean, that's pretty nice. Bullpen still has problems. I get that. But the Mets are going to be a dangerous team, and I think they will add. I think the Mets do claim a wild card.
Were you surprised that Herman didn't apologize to, I don't know, was that his girlfriend or his wife? Was that his wife that he slapped around at the CC event and got busted for domestic violence? Is it... I think it's his wife, right? Like, are you surprised when he did that whole apology to Steinbrenner and Cashman and Boone and his teammates, and he went in front of everybody and took the heat and had his press conference, that he didn't apologize to her?
I mean, I assume he's done this in private, but yes, I think you have to make a public apology. And PR people had to tell him to do this, right? This is all, a lot of this is scripted. Right, you're told what to say, what not to say, and you have to think they're told. Make sure you say it, you know, to the missus that you're sorry. I'm sure you already did that, blah, 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 but make sure you do it to the public, especially at the Zach Britton coming out and saying, you know, I don't really want this guy as my teammate, that sort of thing. I think he had to do that. Maybe he forgot. Maybe someone screwed up, but yeah, I was definitely surprised. And they're still together, whatever that's worth. They are still together.
That's surprising. You know, stick around for some more, I guess. You know, you've had that problem before for sure, where they stick around and then it happens again and again. And I just, I'm not a big fan of guys that do that. So, let me ask you about hockey. Were you surprised that the Islanders beat the Bruins as badly as they beat them last night, because they seem to own the Bruins? That's the only team the Bruins lose to. And then all of a sudden, they finally turn around and lost to somebody else tonight, which is rare. They don't lose to anyone except the Islanders. The Rangers kicked their ass tonight. I mean, they kicked their ass.
Yeah, I'm not surprised the Islanders beat the Bruins. You said that the Islanders have owned them this season, but 7-2. The Islanders don't score 7 goals in a week. I mean, they win games 2-1, 3-2. That's what they do. They don't score 7 goals. So, yeah, that was a surprise. The Bruins sort of fell apart in the third period. Now, we did talk about this yesterday on the early line, that the Bruins were missing a lot of defensemen. So there could be a problem there. But you don't expect the Islanders to be a team to take advantage of that. The Rangers tonight, yeah, I can see that. Although, once again, no Panarin. Maybe the Bruins are in a little bit of a lull here. You know, whatever's going on with them. They are having some problems on the power play. Maybe they're not quite in sync. But if you would have told me that the Islanders and Rangers were going to beat the Bruins in back-to-back games by a combined score of 13-4, I would have told you were nuts. I'd have certainly bet against that.
What is the over-under on Panarin being killed by the KGB? What's
Scott, this is like all of us, you know, me, you, Mafia. We all got together in a back room and goes, let's write a story that we could sell to a movie or a new or a television network. Or, you know, a New York Ranger, you know, the Broadways. Oh, let's write, you know, when their star player, he's going to speak up against Putin and Putin's going to come out and, you know, there's going to be some stuff about him beating up a girl 10 years ago. And he has to go back to Russia to protect his family. I mean, my God, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't make this stuff up. I hope it turns out not to be true, but you and I have heard this over and over again where athletes deny, then we find out, oh, yeah, they did do it, whether it be steroids or domestic violence in the past. This one does seem to be fabricated, as there's no complaint here by a victim. A lot of his former teammates have said, no, this never happened. We never even heard of this back 10 years ago. So I hope it's not true, but if you're asking me when he's going to come back, I don't have any clue. I mean, you talk about Russia. He does have to protect his family.
Do you remember the guy that, whatever his name was, that they, you know, he poisoned, Putin poisoned the guy, Dovny, whatever his name was, and he ended up in a hard labor camp. I'm like, wait a minute, they still have those things? Like what, in Siberia? They sent him to Siberia to a hard prison camp where he's going to do hard labor for 2.5 years? What could be worse? I mean, what would they do to Panarin? I can't even fathom. Now, let me ask you, George. Blue Line Kurtz with us on the bench. We love George. Do you think the Islanders get revenge on my Penguins this weekend with a double dipping of revenge because the Penguins have kicked the Islanders' ass all season?
Well, the Islanders have something over Boston. Penguins seem to have something over the Islanders. It seems like the Islanders in these games always have the lead going through the third period or somewhat halfway through the game and then lose. They just lose. I think Pittsburgh, Jarry's played very well against the Islanders. And now a lot of that's because the Islanders don't have finishers, right? They don't have those skilled players. Maybe they don't match up well against Pittsburgh. Crosby owns the Islanders. I mean, he owns the Islanders. He has pretty much since day one here. I think for the Islanders, you beat Boston, you would love a split this weekend. Any kind of get 2 points any way possible. I don't care if it's tie, you know, win one, lose one in overtime, whatever it is. Just get a split as an Islander fan tonight. But if I was betting, and I will be, yeah, I'm gonna have to bet on Pittsburgh, especially whichever game Sorokin starts for the Islanders. He's played better, but I don't know. He hasn't seen Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and those guys. And Varlamov looked terrible last game. Those two wrist shots from the point by Letang that went in, you know, on 18 shots, that can't happen. So I think the Penguins just have something on the Islanders.
Yeah. I just want to express to you again, George, before the weekend, how much I hate the Islanders, and I hate all of you. I just wanted to say that. And then I hope that the Penguins win both games, and that should cover it in terms of my overall misery index for you and Carver High. Carver High's already brainwashed that newborn son of his. Kid's been alive for 2 weeks, and he's already got him wearing Islander stuff, Islander bibs, Islander onesies, Islander hats, Islander coats, socks, underwear, diapers. It's ridiculous. George, I love you. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks for coming on the bench. Avia, what did you think today when I was talking about Alexis Lafreniere, the Rangers top pick, who people are, you know, bashing, and he's not doing anything, and he's been a bust, and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the guy had two game winners. He's only got two goals since he's been in the league, but both of them are game winners, and one of them was an overtime game winner. I'm like, what more do you want? I mean, the kid's played 18 games, and he's got two game winners, one of them an overtime game winner. Like, you got to be kidding me. It takes time for these kids, some of them, to develop, and I mean, the kid's 18 years old, and they shoved him in the Rangers lineup on Broadway at the Garden and in the NHL without any zero time in the minors, whatever, right? Like, this guy, I mean, look at him. Like, I think he's going to be a great player. He had I don't know how many points he had tonight. I know he had a great assist on one of the Ranger goals, a beautiful pass tape to tape on a goal. So what do you think? I mean, I don't think he's a bust.
Yeah, I think he's an 18-year-old kid, and he's coming in this, you know, not only is the number one pick, he's coming to number one pick in a pandemic. They didn't have some long, drawn-out camp. He didn't have, you know, the summer program with his team. All this stuff was coming together last minute quickly. Everyone shoved in there, and you're seeing not just him. You know, they've seen plenty of vets and teams struggle because of, you know, how short a time they had to get this season together before they started playing. So for this to be the kid's first season, no real introduction or no real, you know, practice time with his, you know, teammates, with the veterans to learn from and things like that, relax. He's 18. He's got time. He's got plenty of years ahead of him to be the, you know, number one pick and the amazing player he's expected to be.
You know, Jack Hughes was the same way with the Devils, and people bashed him and said he sucked, and you could tell he could skate, and you could tell that he had, you know, skill. And then this year he came out and he's looked like a different guy altogether. He looks like a man now, and he's playing like it. I just think the kid needs time for the Rangers.